This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rico Gathers played it. Baylor, I was wrong. Celebrate, people. Celebrate. You got me. Good job. Both teams have highlighter yellow uniforms. My bad.
I would totally screw that up. I would. In a heartbeat, so have no fear. I mess up more than I get right usually, so you're all right.
I appreciate it.
Guys, she's coming this way.
Again?
Yes. Maybe she has, like, maybe she had some bad Mexican food and she's just running the crapper every 5 minutes.
Moon River. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Eric Resendez. You're jumping in on the bandwagon. You guys are a-holes, all of you.
I see that. We've got a lot of people sending messages.
It's not even that you're putting me on the spot, because I don't care about that. It's that it's like she just keeps looking up at me, which is making it really awkward. She's just like, all of a sudden, someone will tweet, and then she'll look at me, and I'm like, what do I do right now? You guys are weird. You guys are making it
Kilted
so weird.
Kilted Beer Guy gets in. Dudes, I'm single. Hook a brother up. LOL. Hashtag Hot Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that.
Well, you're gonna have to move to Dallas, you idiot. And she's up here. You're down there. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, speaking of that, we got a text. I'm heartbroken. Feeling like y'all are cheating on me with another beer guy. I got to bring y'all some goodies to get back in the good graces. That's from your friendly neighborhood beer salesman. Hey, there's enough room in my stomach for all the beer, so don't worry about it. There's room for everyone here.
We share the love, but we appreciate the love being shared. That's all we can say.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly true. It was Clutch the Bear that went to Oregon. You guys stop it.
Had a field day all week with this. By the way, I started getting texts from his brother this morning. Like,
oh, nice.
Right. But basically saying something to the effect, like, no, hey, what's up, or anything like that. It just said, hey, his show killed last night. And I go, huh? And he goes, oh, you know, the guy that you work with busting on my brother, his show was great last night. I go, okay, great. Thanks for being
here. You know who's going to say that? You know who's going to say that? Your brother. Yeah,
good thing you're not related, right? I'm like, okay. He goes, I'm just being poly positive. I go, okay, PP, appreciate it. All right, we'll write that
Thanks
down.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, PP Pants. You stay positive. But guess what? I've never had a family member come to a show and be like, man, you sucked. Even when I sucked, they didn't come to the show and go, you sucked. They're like, oh, you're so funny. Like, it doesn't happen that way. All right? Even when my very first guest set, my wife, my sister-in-law, and AJ were there. And none of them were like, boy, you sucked, because I did suck. But they were like, hey, man, you're going to be hilarious. That's how you say that. Without telling someone they suck, but I'm guessing his brother is not going to be like, hey, just FYI, I wanted to text you and let you know that he just ate a fat one on stage. Yeah, he's not going to do that. That's so silly.
Look for the bare necessities. The simple
like, necessities. Really? Hey, I just want to let you go, let you know my brother's an idiot and he sucks and he was terrible last night and you guys were right. That's not happening. But this is, of course, the guy that, what, he wanted to do the show?
He volunteered. Yes.
Oh, well. Doesn't everybody? Isn't that how that goes?
His direct quote was, I'm just filling you in because it was talked about on your show by your negative Nelly host, Positive Paul, reporting here. And I went, okay, PP, thanks.
Oh, my God. Okay, PP.
Okay,
my
PP.
Negative.
Thanks, PP.
So funny.
Nobody likes sore PP.
I love that you can't even take criticism. I love it. That's great. You don't come on this station and tell stories about beating up my co-host, my pal, my ace, and then just think that I'm going to lay down and take it. I don't think so, pal. I got stern words for you, and I'll say a few more.
But I think I summed it all up best by saying LeVar Bear. I mean, when you're starving for attention, there are things you can try and do to try. And look, LeVar wrote the book on it, and evidently he bought a copy, so.
I like this text. This is my favorite text so far. Not only is Clutch a better fighter than Joel, he's also a better comedian than Barry. Damn.
God, they got us pegged.
That is hilarious. That is so funny. Oh, my goodness. That's great.
Hey, did you all see right. this now because of the fact that we talked about it yesterday? We had said and reported what we were getting reports on that Tannehill didn't need surgery in Miami. Now they're saying because of the fact that the injury happened to the same knee that he avoided or, say, passed on having surgery on last year, that if he doesn't have surgery, which would end his season, it's going to continue to flare up, happen, and things like this are going to happen again and again. So now the Dolphins are contemplating with Tannehill what to do next, and the potential now lies that he will take the knife and have surgery. If he does, they are again bringing up names that could possibly replace him. One of them, Jay Cutler, who has already been signed to head to the broadcast booth, said that he would be willing to pass on broadcasting, of course, to get quarterback money and also to be guaranteed the starting job over Moore, which I don't think you can guarantee because Matt Moore has proved to be a better than, as you put it, you know, maybe the best quarterback duo, first string, second string in the NFL. But that if he gets quarterback money and guaranteed the starting position, he would go to the Dolphins because Adam Gase was his offensive coordinator in the 1 year he played above average in Chicago. So he has thrown his name essentially into the hat. And then also on the Kaepernick front, because of the fact that we talked about it at nauseam again yesterday, was the fact that a lot of people reporting now that that they would be open to it. However, because of his love for Fidel Castro, the ability to wear his T-shirts and talk about everything with Cuba, and the fact that Cuba is so close to Miami and fans are so passionate, that will not sit well with the city of Miami, as people have reported both on ESPN and otherwise. Your thoughts?
You know, I'm kind of split. Yes, Jay Cutler is better than Matt Moore, right? But how long have they said that Tannehill is gone for? Is he gone for the year?
Well, it depends on if he goes under the knife. I mean, the thing is that if he does what he did last year and just rehabs and tries to do everything and wears the brace, that he could try and avoid it. But they're saying essentially, look, the reason why in a non-contact drill, you know, you went down and had the injury yesterday is because you didn't have surgery. And if you don't have surgery, these kind of things are going to continue to happen. So if he does have the surgeries out for the year, if he doesn't, you know, there's no definitive, but they're saying kind of like 2 to 3 months, kind of like Will Fuller.
Right. So I would probably wait and then find out. If he's gone for the year, I go get Jay Cutler. If he's not, you can always go get Jay Cutler at any point, right? Like, you don't have to rush out now. Maybe Matt Moore is, you know, maybe he's Matt Castle, where he comes in and he has a great year. You know, he's not a great quarterback. You know, he's never going to be a franchise QB, but in this situation, he has a great year and, you know, they make the playoffs or whatever. But if it's not happening that way, then you go and get Jay Cutler after four games.
Well, but
so I don't think you have to rush out right now.
How does Cutler get out of this TV deal? I mean, look, they're guaranteeing him millions too, and he already signed on the dotted line. So at what point did they say, look, if you want to do this now, we've got enough time to get someone else in here and make, you know, shuffle some of our lineup around. But if you want to do it, say, in the last preseason week or later in the year, it's going to be harder for us. Therefore, we're going to have an issue with it because, I mean, he's the one that said, look, I'm ready to walk away and I'm going to go into the broadcasting booth. And now, you know, first opportunity, he's ready to jump back and try and pick up quarterback money.
I have a feeling, and I know I'm sure everyone that makes these contracts are way smarter than you and me, but so I say that suspecting that there's probably some sort of clause in Jay Cutler's contract that would say, hey, if I get offered a starting job and I so choose to take it, then this is the parameters of how I would do it. I would give you guys a week's notice or, you know what I mean? There's got
to
be something in there.
There had to be some stipulation, discussion, and clause that at least had been discussed.
Yeah. This is not a dude that's 5 years removed from the NFL and is never going to play again. He could go right now. Yeah, he would need a couple of weeks, but I'm sure he's staying in shape. I'm sure he's still keeping his body healthy because, like he just said,
he's posing cigarettes again.
That too. So I'm sure there's, I would guess, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but I would guess there's something in his contract that says he can go take a starting job, but these are the parameters. You know what I mean? Like he has to come back or whatever. So that'll be interesting, but if I'm the Dolphins, I give it a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? I wait and see for sure how long is Tannehill going to be out, and if it's looking like most of the year, then yeah, you definitely want to go take a look and at least kick the tires on Jay Cutler.
Now, Barry, wouldn't you think that if one broadcaster that used to be a quarterback has a clause like that, there's a chance another one would too? Romer?
I would.
Well.
I would.
Well. That's something that we won't discuss, but it, you know, just worth throwing out there. All right, so we got plenty more show to get to. We've got A.J. Hinch coming up at 2:45. That's a big get. He's going to talk Astros baseball in the midst of a three-game slump, but they're at home and they're hosting the Blue Jays tonight. So that's coming up on the horizon, as well as all of your texts and tweets and calls and plenty more. Don't go anywhere. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry coming to us from lovely and beautiful Fort Worth. Nick and I from the studios here in Houston. We've heard all about the scenery. You guys are doing a great job. Keep that up.
You guys, yeah, can we just tell Eric Resendez to stop being overly creepy? Like, it's one thing to do the jokes, but he's being super weird now.
How so?
I'm never going to answer another baseball question of yours again, Eric, if you don't stop being overly weird. I don't know, he just started, like, tweeting, like, weird stuff. So he starts off, he's like, "Hello, Mish Rod," which I guess is her Michelle Rodriguez. "Houston wants to say hi, not trying to be creepy like Barry is funny. Best show in Houston with Pac-Man Joe and the producer Nick." So I just did the little laughy face, and he was like, "How is it weird, man? You want us to tell her to not look at you? What are you doing, dude? Stop." now you're taking it too far, and it's just, that's just awkward. That's just so awkward. I'm going to have to go and apologize for you being a weirdo.
There again.
I hope she blocks
you. The door
you.
Is open. Well, not yet, but, I mean, you can get in there just to say hi and explain everything.
This means
I understand.
Nothing to me.
I understand you're married, Barry. I'm not trying to get you a date. I'm just trying to get you to be conversational with someone that might add more to the show from Fort Worth.
I don't need to be conversational, you know?
Because you don't talk for a living.
I'll go creep on her Instagram and I'll be done. That's all I'm doing. That's it. That's okay. The married man status.
All right.
But I'm not going to do that right now because, like I said, my back is in the hallway. And if I have her Instagram up, people are going to walk by and be like, "Oh my God, that guy is creepy."
I'd do it. I'd do it right now. I don't think anybody's looking. I'm just telling
you. You are a damn.
I don't think she's got a clear view of anything. I'd do it right now.
OU Mike got on a text roll here. You ready for this?
Sure.
Are you ready? Yep. "Clutch the Bears, brother. Clutch my penis."
That's quite a roll.
"Clutch the Bears, brother. Only got as far as being the cow out in front of Chick-fil-A. Clutch the Bears, brother. Only got as far as being Lady Liberty in front of the tax place. Clutch the Bears, brother. Couldn't even get the Santa job at Greens Point." Oh, well done, OU Mike.
Wow.
That is fantastic. So you got one successful mascot and then a failed one. Oh,
no one ever
stuff.
Said that he tried to become a mascot.
Well, OU Mike, are you not getting the joke here, Joel?
I do get it, Barry. I get all of it. Yes, but of course I'm just trying to save myself.
You're going to get text. I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to start getting a lot of texts.
As I stare at this lady, yeah, I'm really concerned about you getting text from Clutch the Penis or whatever the brother is.
Why start now being concerned about me? I get it. It's fine. Now, I wanted to ask you guys about something. We were trying to get Pauly Malignaggi on yesterday. Nick was doing his best, and there were some exclusivities and things we were trying to fight through. But look, you know, the report came out that, you know, he's the sparring partner for McGregor, that they had a pretty spirited sparring 12-round mat. You know, everything seemed to be very physical, very intense. But now things have changed. He now comes out today and said that he doesn't think he's going to continue being Conor McGregor's sparring partner. After photos surfaced that appeared to show McGregor in a favorable light in their 12-round session, he said, "I wanted to be a part of this event, but I didn't want to become the story, and that's what this has turned into. I won't release any information about his game plan or what he's working on. I wouldn't do that, but this has become a fiasco, and it's a circus." He later went on to say that because the picture showed McGregor in a favorable light against him, that he would like all of the video to be put out there and to be done so without editing, because it's not nice to paint a pic that isn't true. he was pushed down, not knocked down in the sparring. And he also said that there were several times within the bout where he had the advantage and had several rounds where he was, I wouldn't say dominant, but he said he was actually, as he would say, I actually beat his ass in a tweet. So your guys' thoughts.
I mean, I think for sure, I mean, he blamed it on somebody in the in his camp, which is probably true. But you look at someone like Floyd Mayweather, they've been through this so many times before in terms of, you know, being really secret during the training camp. And I don't think Conor McGregor has that type of experience. He's not used to that dynamic where he has to be so incredibly secretive in his training camp. And so maybe, you know, maybe someone did leak it from his camp. I'd be upset too, because the only picture that you see is him on the ground and there's no video of it.
Right.
And he went out and said, look, post the unedited version of it. I'm open to see it, but don't just post a picture. I'd be mad if I was Paulie Malignaggi as well. I don't think he quit his Showtime gig, but he quit as his sparring partner for sure.
So he said this, Barry, before we get to you, the two tweets that he did send out after that was, I came to help this camp out, not to be exploited. Now you're going to get the truth, though. Post the full unedited video from Tuesday night if you have ethics. And then he finished with, I actually beat his ass. 24 hours off a flight, too, which is why I'm saying post the vid. I try not to be petty, but seems it's too late for that now. So there you go.
Well, this is all ego driven. I mean, you know that, right?
It's marketing driven. 100%
ego. No, this whole spat is ego driven, because the picture comes out and all that's really there to do is to say and to give the fans a sense that Conor McGregor has a chance, that if he can knock down Malignaggi, then he can knock down Floyd Mayweather. And so that's all that is that's just marketing and hype. But Paulie Malignaggi let ego get in the way, and he's like, hey, man, you can't be making me look bad. That's not what happened. Where if he would have waited, he could have done that after this fight. He could have earned his money, which I guarantee you he was making a grip being in Conor McGregor's camp. I promise you he was getting paid silly money to do this. But now he let his ego get in the way of making that check and everything else, because he had to come out and immediately say, no, you didn't knock me down. If he was a smart man would have waited. And I at the end, like me, I would have waited. And then when it was all said and done and the fight was over, I'd have been like, yeah, that picture you saw, that's not what happened. He pushed me, and then explain it. But earn that money. But right now, it's just all about ego.
So you're telling me wait till after the fight?
Collect all the money and make sure he doesn't lose anything. But Barry, it's a marketing grab,
too. Get that training camp money.
It's a huge marketing ploy.
But this isn't selling the fight. This has nothing to do with selling the fight.
The picture was. The picture absolutely was, because the picture was trying to show, from a marketing standpoint, hey, McGregor's starting to pick up this boxing stuff. So from a marketing standpoint, that would get pique more interest from the common people.
That's what I just said. That's what I'm saying. That leaking that photo, the whole point is to make people feel like McGregor has a chance against Floyd Mayweather, because look what he did to Paulie Malignaggi. That's what I was saying in the beginning. And that's why if Malignaggi was smart, he would have waited and come out and disputed this afterwards once he gets all this training camp money. But he couldn't. His ego got in the way.
Even if
all this is marketing. That's it.
But even if you're going into the training camp, going into the training session with the agreement that nothing is to be disclosed, you still would wait? You would still wait through all the training camps? That was the agreement.
Yeah. Yeah, but listen, the same things he's saying now, he could have said later. The difference is now he quit and he doesn't get a check anymore. He's done.
And his
ego got in the way.
From my standpoint, Barry, I was just saying, you were saying it was just a straight cash grab, and I was saying it was a marketing thing, but we're saying the same thing, that there's no doubt about it, because they're still trying to, as we've said over and over again, this is all about as much hype as you can possibly build up just to get the buys, the pay-per-views, and people to want to pay attention to this fight.
I mean, think about this. When you're the public and you see the odds come out and you see that basically Conor McGregor has no shot and those odds are made by the intelligent people in Vegas, then you think to yourselves, well, why am I going to pay for this? Yeah, you're going to have the hardcore guys, but a smart fight fan is going to look at that and go, this is going to be garbage. I'll go somewhere else. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to shift those odds. They're trying to give people the impression that this is going to be a better fight than it really is. And it's just not – it's. I mean, you know. It backfired on them this time, but that's what they're trying to do. It's pretty obvious, I think. All right, I would think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, again, we could be proven extremely wrong But it doesn't look that way. And on paper, like you said, and with the odds makers, they see right through this and know this isn't setting up to be a very tightly contested, you know, big fight for Floyd Mayweather. So we'll see how it pans out. But we know the hype that comes with, you know, Conor McGregor, and we know Floyd's good at it too. So it's going to continue all the way up until fight night. So we'll see what happens. But
I'm with you. 832 texted and said, all this sets up another boxing payday at the end of the year between McGregor and Malignaggi. I don't think so. I don't think that – I don't give anyone that much credit for being this smart, because I think that McGregor could have benefited from having Malignaggi in his camp the whole time. Again, this is just a marketing ploy that backfired, and ego got in the way with Malignaggi, and it all went to hell in a handbasket pretty quickly. But I don't think this was planned. If it happens, all right, I could see that, because it's a legitimate beef between these two guys as opposed to the manufactured beef between Floyd and Conor McGregor. So I could see that, but it would be more genuine, I would think.
All right, we'll continue with the discussions if you want to get in on it, whether that be on Mayweather and McGregor or anything else. Again, AJ Hinch at 2:45, but if you want to get questions to us for AJ, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776, where you can text us, you can also call us, or you can also send us tweets throughout the show. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the great people at American Wheel and Tire here in Houston, 290 at 34th Street. We've all been there. We've had a flat tire. We've had rim damage. We need something done to our car, or we want to spruce it up. We want to put rims and tires on it, or a lift kit, or do something to make it look better. But when you go to the big-time stores, the national stores, it seems like you come in with a small problem, and it becomes a huge issue. By the time you leave, the bill is much bigger. So are all the things they said they did. You don't have a lot of proof. All you have to do, all you're left with, is an uneasy feeling when you pull off the driveway saying, I'm not sure that I didn't get screwed there because of the fact that I don't know what they did and didn't do. Well, you're not going to get that with American Wheel and Tire. They've been in business in Houston for over 15 years, and they pride themselves on being honest and communicative throughout the process while they take away that queasy, uneasy feeling that you might be getting taken advantage of. And it could be in a variety of different things. It could be that you need a new tire, or it could be that you just have a flat. It could be that you have damage to a rim or tire that someone says you need to replace, but they could actually buff it out or fix it to save you a lot of money. They're going to tell you all those things along the way. They're going to communicate throughout the process. They have a great waiting room, by the way, with large screen TVs and refreshments where you can sit, wait, and there's a window to watch exactly what they're doing to your car. And at the same time, if they need to take you out there in one of the bays to show you what's going on, they're going to do that as well. It's because they want your return business, and they want you to know that they do remarkable work. It's fast, and it's at a very fair price, and they're going to take care of you. They carry tires for all types of vehicles. They have factory wheels from each of the dealerships, as well as the customs, as well as lift kits, off-road accessories, and much more for your car or your SUV. Check it out. Go to AmericanWheelAndTire.com and see what they've done to a lot of different cars in this city. And then on top of it, if you ever have an issue with a wheel or a tire, or you just want to talk to someone in person, American Wheel and Tire, 290 at 34th Street. Mike and Tammy Gust have owned it for 15 years, and Johnny and the guys that handle everything at the front desk, they are fantastic. Jason will take care of you as well. Go see American Wheel and Tire, 298 34th, or check out AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the sultry sounds of The Usual Suspects from 1 to 4 on ESPN 97.5 as we wrap up another week here in the big city on the big show. Barry?
Yes, sir?
Oh, man.
Sounds a lot better.
You got out of the bathroom. You put the duck down in the scrub brush and you decided to join us without an echo.
Yeah, you guys sound better in my ears, too.
See?
Progress. I want to go back to the old setting. I don't know.
Wow.
I like that old school feel, like I'm doing it from a holding tank in prison.
Which, we don't, the only difference is we wouldn't be tweeting and texting those people to stop by and say, well, maybe we would, but I don't think we'd reach them as easy.
No?
Any? Did you have any communications with Michelle?
I have not. We waved at each other through the glass when all of the shenanigans started, thanks to you guys. But that's been it. I can't, like I said, there's a glare, so I really can't see her. Only when she, like, does something, I guess, on the cart machine. I'm just kidding. They don't have those anymore. But, like, every once in a while, she moves out of the glare. But that's it. It's mostly just glare. So I can't tell if she's looking at me or not. But that's good, because then it would be really awkward if we made eye contact. So.
Okay.
That's where we're at currently.
All right. Well, let's hope that between now and the end of the show that she is very friendly and gives you continued good views. Just for the viewing pleasure. That's all I'm saying. Nothing more, nothing less. Right, Nick?
Exactly.
Now, if Nick was there, I would expect you to be going
full, I'd be completely distracted.
Full board on trying to help Nick out.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
No,
I
you
would
guys
be helpful
would totally
well.
Ruin that for me. There would have been so many more tweets and texts. And
I
it
can't
would have
believe
been,
that you think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, your mic is on a damn roll today. Barry, next time she looks, take your shirt off. I am not doing that. And Frank, the 55-year-old banger from Lake Jackson, told me he'd be my wingman. No,
oh,
Frank.
Jeez.
Frank coming in here trying to steal all the ladies.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Hey, when's the last time you've seen a chest this hairy, huh? Because you know Frank, if he's 55, he's got like a nasty hairy chest. You know what I mean?
That he's proud of. That he's rocking.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's like, I remember Burt Reynolds in the 70s was my idol. Not because of his mustache, but because of his chest stash.
I'm 55, but the other five you need to know is the 5 days a week. I'm banging it out. I'm here and I'm ready. He loves to mention that little healthy reminder to you every time he hits you up.
That's how he knows I'll know who he is. Because if he just said Frank, you know, we have a couple of Frank listeners, I do believe. So that's his way of, you know,
Frank
standing out from the crowd. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Frank, the no Viagra needed guy.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So that's fine. Hey, well, you know, look, the good news is you have support. You know, just like Nick has a bodyguard, and now he also has a kilted beer man, could basically kick anybody's ass. So we do have that going for us.
Yeah, he threatened to beat up old Pee Pee Pants or whatever his name is.
Yes, saw that on yes Twitter. I saw that as well.
That's great. I like when the listeners are like, I'll fight that guy. I like that. And I don't have to because we do get threatened a lot. I do. You don't. You just get mean texts. I have people that want to fight me all the time for some reason. I don't understand it. I don't know
either.
Why would anyone want to fight me? I'm so nice.
I wouldn't go that far. I go with the first question is fine, but the comment
minute.
On the end of it, I'm not going with.
Now, I expected Joel's response, but I didn't expect Nick to be the first one I'll shoot to go, yeah. What?
Hey, man. Sometimes.
And too brute? Why, take the knife out of my back, Nick.
I mean, God. Sometimes you're in a good mood, and sometimes you're just not.
I am always in
Nick.
A good mood.
Everybody has those moments.
That's
it's
a
all
lie.
Good.
80-20.
Yeah, I am 80% in a good mood.
No,
you have
that's
no
the
idea.
That's no. You got it flipped. Flip
I don't
the script.
Think so. Leave it to the listeners. Ask them. I would be willing to bet you that they think I'm in a good mood 80%. In fact, start a poll. Go
they
ahead.
They don't
start
see
a
you
poll.
Come in the back door and already spray evil looks at the interns. And
I have to come in and look at your face every day. You'd be in a bad mood, too.
Okay.
You walked right into that one, man. You set yourself up. I just saw it. I just, you know.
At least I was already here.
You grooved it down the middle, and there you go.
I did. I'm trying to find this to make it official, but people are tweeting me that Evan Gattis has been placed on the 10-day DL since last night, catcher's interference. He caught the follow-through swing of the bat in the dome piece, even though he had the mask on. But now they're saying, I'm seeing reports on Twitter, he might be out on 10-day DL, so another injury that to quite possibly deal with for your Strohs.
Well, we do have AJ Hinch coming up in the next segment, so we'll ask him.
Right?
But I would like to be able to confirm it so we don't look foolish by
I'm
going, hey, what's wrong with Evan Gattis? And he goes, what are you talking about? And you're like, oh, I don't know.
Well, that would be my role.
Yeah, don't we have a producer that can look this up or one of the 50,000 interns in that bullpen?
No producer today, so sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well,
we got an on-air talent
so no different than any other day is what you're saying.
Hey, I got a way to soothe everything over with Michelle, by the way. I was thinking about this.
Oh, no.
Just go in
this.
And say, I'm friends with Barry Warner. He's
huge
a Hall,
fan of, that
Hall of Fame broadcaster in the state of Texas. I think that soothes everything over, and you become instantaneously like buddies.
You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be like, hey, sorry my listeners are creepy. I do think you're really hot, though. By the way, my name is Joel Blank. It's a pleasure to meet you. And
Because she won't be able to look up on Twitter and figure out who's who. That's right.
Yeah, but at least I'll be gone by then. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll just go do that. I'm going to introduce. That's what I'm going to do from now on. I'm just going to go around town everywhere I go doing comedy. And I'm just going to be the worst possible person to everyone I run into and introduce myself as Joel Blank. I'm just going to start spreading this mean Joel Blank lie all over the country as I do comedy.
I don't go on the world tour, but I can do the same thing here. I just leave my glasses on and I'll go do what I got to do and just say that I'm Barry and we'll see how it all works out.
That's did you just, I feel like you just, I know you are, but what am I me with that response? Like,
you
I feel
call
like
it
you
whatever
just
you
took
want,
what I
but I
said.
Think I could be effective with it.
I feel like you just took what I said and did the same thing. You can't, that's not fair in this war of words, sir.
I don't think that there's anything that had a rule book in it that said what's fair and not. So I'm just going to go out and do it.
Frank said, I'll come in as at 55 will be my call name from now on. Thanks, Barry. Crazy, love the show. Barry's a douchebag 80% of the time, so there's that.
Okay.
Yep. All right. See, Joel, by the way, I read my own hate, so don't get mad when I read your Clutch the Bear fight texts. I just read that this guy thinks I'm a douchebag 80% of the time.
You've given life to that thing all week, but you get one, you read one text every now and again, and you're like a saint. That's good.
Need
That's
I
cool.
remind you earlier when Nick was reading hate text, all the hate text he read on you that I skipped? Sir, need I remind you, your heart and your feelings are my priority.
But full disclosure, you skipped one of your hate texts too.
Well, because it was stupid. It wasn't even good hate. Like, I want good hate. I want that solid hate. I want like that, ooh, I think they really mean that hate. Not the joking hate. I want that real hate.
I'll police the text line right now. I'll see if Barry might be deleting some. Right
I was
going
to block you. No, I just read the one about Barry's 80% douchebag.
I can't find, by the way, anything on transactions about Evan Gattis. So,
okay. Well, then
we
we're
can
not
just ask
it.
Him how he's doing since he took a shot to the dome yesterday. But AJ Hinch is scheduled to join us next. So that should be a pretty good segment. Your Stros have lost three in a row. But, hey, they still got a big lead in the division and in the American League. So we'll talk to the skipper of your Local 9 next right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Barry, Nick, Usual Suspects till 4, ESPN 97.5. Barry coming to us from the luxurious and scenic studios in Fort Worth, Texas. Nick and I coming to you from the Galleria of H-Town.
I like scenic. That's a good way to put it.
I'm just trying to keep it politically correct as we move on.
Oh, there's that awkward eye contact. All right. Damn it. That's the
you know what you need
guys.
To do? You need to get those Insta-tint glasses. If you get those Insta-tint glasses, she couldn't tell that you were awkwardly glaring at her rear end.
You know, those, are you talking about, what are they called, transitions lenses or whatever?
Something like that.
Those are so douchey. I would never wear those. Because then what inevitably happens is you go outside and they don't untint right away. So then you come in looking like a weirdo with sunglasses on indoors, and you guys know how I feel about that.
Yep.
And then I know some dudes who they just never untint for whatever reason. And then you just look like an idiot walking around. So yeah. I
think at one point, just like Velcro shoes, they were kind of hip and kind of cool, but they've definitely outlived anything where they ever were the hip and cool thing to have for eyewear because, yeah, you're right. The biggest thing for me is inevitably, no matter where you were wearing them, even if it was bright lights in the office, you look like you're wearing sunglasses indoors, and that's douchey.
And you know Velcro shoes are going to make a comeback at some point, right? Like, you know that.
My dad was hanging on as long as he could to hope that they would, and he gave it all he had, but he's not with us anymore, but he's going to be very disappointed if they do.
Father Time is undefeated, but did he at least give you his shoes in the will so he can, like, son, one day you'll thank me?
I'm going to tell you something. We had our stories, but after he passed, I was cleaning out his closet, and he had, you know, I guess they called them Sansa belts, but they were like, you know, the gym teacher shorts, but they were pants, and you didn't need a belt because they had the elastic. Well, he had plaid, and he had some just some get-ups and some funky clothes. So I'm sitting there like going, hey, think Dad ever wore these? And I put the pants over my pants, and I put on like one of his bad jackets, and he had like a fedora. And my mom was like, you know, your dad's not going to be too happy about all this. And I was up on a ladder in the top of the closet to see if there was any more hats. And the light right above me goes, goes in and out. And she looked, and she goes, you think I'm kidding, huh? And she walked away. I was like, yeah, I think I'll take the rest of this off.
That's hilarious. See, you got busted from the other side. I like
did.
That.
Yeah, but hey, my dad was big on all that.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, see, you don't go making fun of dad's fashion, even though it's usually bad.
It's really bad.
My dad's not terrible. He's kind of like an old school, just country dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he still walks the Wranglers. But my stepmom and my sisters have done a good job of getting him kind of fashion forward. So now he's a little more hip. But it's not because by choice, because he would still be wearing the same Wranglers he bought in like 1970. Where they flare out with his stupid pair of boots. I just want to give a real quick, I want to say congratulations to our Nick Sharara, or as Barry Warner would say, our Nick Shanana.
Sharar.
Yeah. Congratulations, Nick. You are now in ninth place in the Fantasy Baseball League. You've done it.
Wow.
You've done it. By not doing anything, you've done it.
You moved out of the basement?
I think someone offered me a trade, too.
Did they?
I didn't even look at it.
Shock and I just did a trade. Yeah, I think I sent you a trade, actually, and you ignored it. But Shock and I just made a trade. We're both moving up in the world. But
can't mess with a super team roster like that.
You're no longer in the cellar. You have 35 points out of a possible 100. So you're doing great, buddy.
Who's in last? I hate asking this because it could really incriminate somebody. But who could possibly be in last?
Justin Burden. I don't even know if he's listening. Justin Burden, if you're listening, you should call and explain why you're such a miserable piece of crap that you can't even beat Nick Sharara in fantasy. Nick, the only move he's made is the move I made. Come on, man. You're better than this. You're way better at fantasy. You can do this.
Yeah, Nick, we'll get back to that, but you really need to work on your fantasy baseball. Matter of fact, we bring in now the manager of your Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch, and we really appreciate him joining us. He will not be giving you any tips, Nick, however, to help your fantasy baseball team, because your team is absolutely helpless. So he has better things to deal with. Coach, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel here on ESPN. Quick question for you. Obviously, three-game skid, but not something you're very accustomed to. But as we kind of talked about on the show, look, you guys have been so good for so long that there's no real need to press the panic button. But where are you in terms of the health of this team? And of course, obviously, you've had to put a little extra work in with the bullpen. But I guess first things first, Sprint, you're going to give Altuve the night off tonight. But where are we on getting Springer back in the lineup?
Yeah, no, the health has been terrible for us. We've just felt like it's been one guy after another, either unavailable in the game or actually on the DL. And you know, I look down and I see today no Altuve, no Correa, no Springer, you know, no Gattis, no, you know, it's a different team that just based on health and some rest time. So I'm being very patient with it. You know, giving some guys some days off. Marwin Gonzalez, who's having an excellent season, is going to get the day off tomorrow, and just map out some rest days so we stop having these little things come up that have come up. And with Springer, you know, we're excited where he's at. He's going to run again tomorrow and again Sunday. Hopefully get some good news sometime on the road trip next week. So the light at the end of the tunnel is going to be good. Correa is progressing fine, and Harris is progressing fine. McCullough should start throwing again here pretty soon. So, better times ahead for our team, but I look down and we're writing a little different lineup. There's a little different names in the bullpen and Peacock's going back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation. So we've got our own set of problems these days, but we're still doing okay.
So what's the status with Gattis? Is he going to hit the DL?
No, Gattis won't hit the DL. He's been battling a couple different things. And then at the end of the game last night, just got smoked by the backswing, of Dickerson. So before he even got here, I decided he probably needed a rest day just after how difficult the game was on him last night. And He'll be back in there in the next day or so.
Coach, a tale of two issues with your pitching staff last night. I thought a really solid start and a good effort again by McHugh. But we all know that because of a lot of those injuries, because of the rotation that's had so many injuries to deal with, the bullpen's been a little bit overused, and they gave up the lead. But your assessment of the pitching last night, both from McHugh and then the overusage of the bullpen lately?
Yeah, McHugh was excellent. I think coming off of the DL, we weren't quite sure how his endurance was going to be. But he you know, he proved last night his stuff was really good at the end of his outing. Got up to close to 100 pitches and looks to be what we talk about with our pitchers in April and May, just being fresh to start a season. And I'm glad that we need him, that we have that, because we need him to get into some innings. And he's always been, you know, a pretty reliable 6-7 inning guy and provides 180, 200 innings every year. And, so that'll be nice. I think he'll be a good addition at a time that's really needed to solidify some things. You know, the bullpen has been beat up. You know, I think for the most part, when Davinsky gives up a run, we're all pretty surprised because he's been so dominant for most of the season. And these guys are really only remembered when they give runs up, because it's important runs and at late in games and things like that. So, you know, if it's a swell that we're going through, a little drought you know, where we're giving up a few too many runs in the bullpen, we'll come out of it. We'll be better from it. We'll get a reinforcement in Will Harris here pretty soon, and things will be a little bit better. But for right now, we're taking it on the chin a little bit.
Coach, lots of folks in Houston, you know, behind this team and supporting it, but got a little frustrated at the trade deadline that no big splash was made other than Liriano. A lot of folks looking for, you know, another one or two or some help in that bullpen. Is it frustrating to have the best record in the AL and feel like the fans are still disappointed that nothing happened?
No, I mean, I think people are into the Astros, which is cool. And the fan support has been great. I think the organization, you know, I spent a lot of time with Jim and Jeff and everybody here and myself, the players, like everyone was frustrated, that nothing happened, to a greater extent, because there was a lot of effort that was put behind it. And I think we'll never know exactly what that effort was or what deals were closed or not closed, because it's, you know, it's really GM to GM on the phone. But, you know, the front office tried to do as much as they could. They got to a point where they felt like a couple things were going to be done. And then when nothing happens, there's an immediate reaction, because we see so many teams that are doing different things. And the reality is they're doing that to try to catch the teams that are ahead of them. And we've been ahead of most teams. And outside of the Dodgers, we have the best record in baseball. So I think everyone's allowed to be frustrated, or everyone's allowed to be, you know, to have that opinion and that reaction, because that's what July 31st has turned into. I think the reality is now we have to pick ourselves up and go win a division. Once you win a division, you get into the playoffs and anything can happen. Because I don't think one day on a calendar dictates the success or failure of your season. But be mad, be frustrated, but you know, get back to the winning ways that we need to be at.
Speaking of that, what do you make of Keuchel's words at the trade deadline? He mentioned, you know, a bit disappointed. Is that something that you don't pay any attention to because he is the unquestioned leader in the rotation, or what transpired there?
Yeah, no, I mean, Dallas is opinionated, and I think all players are. And if I've learned anything in this era is people are going to voice it. They voice it on Instagram and Twitter and in front of cameras and the media. And it's a lot more of an open society than probably ever before. So I think Dallas, you know, means well when you know, he speaks his mind and has high expectations for himself. You know, players, managers, coaches, front office, you never know how many of these opportunities are going to come up where you're positioned so well. So I, you know, we're all on the same team, though. I don't think anyone's going to take shots at each other from, you know, from inside the clubhouse or from the front office or anything like that. And, you know, we're all teammates. And Dallas, you know, kind of went public with his strong comments, but he's going to take the ball every 5 days and try to do his part to help us win. So as a manager, you know, whether you like it or not, guys are going to be out there socially and speaking their minds. And you hope that they can refocus back when the competition begins, because regardless of trade, no trade, you know, you got to go win games. And that's where I'm kind of paid to get these guys back to playing good baseball.
Talking with A.J. Hinch, the manager of your Houston Astros, on the HR&P listener line. A.J., one of the things that, that comes up, and I think when we talk about fans and frustration, everybody was wanting Keuchel to get back sooner and quicker simply because of the fact he was 9-0, and as Barry said, you know, the leader of your staff. Now, with McCullers going on the DL for the second time, do you take him down the same path as you did with Keuchel to say, look, there's no rush. The main thing now is we've got a big enough lead. We're going to do and probably border on being extra careful, if you will, to make sure that he's ready for the final month and then get right into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think just the tone of that kind of – my one reaction to that is, you know, we're not artificially holding guys back for the sake of holding them back. I mean, I want George Springer leading off the day that he can, and so does the organization. I think, you know, when watching Dallas come off of two rehab starts and struggle in his two outings, you know, it's not easy just to sit out for a while and then come back and be the version that fans are – or everybody we expect them to be. So there is a process here where players have to get themselves mentally and physically ready to play. So when they're ready, we put them out there. Carlos Correa is going to bat fourth immediately when he's available. We're not just going to have him be on vacation and not play. So we've got a lot of information and a lot of, you know, I guess on our side inside the game where we, you know, we do a pretty good job of understanding our players and when they're ready to go and. Sometimes you have to protect players from themselves. They want to be out there, and they think they can come back a little bit earlier because they feel good, and then you know, sometimes they can't. So I'm happy with how we're going about it. We're being very diligent. We're being very thorough, but we're not being overly cautious for the sake of just keeping them back.
As part of the trade for Liriano, you guys sent Aoki out. Does the play of Derek Fisher, did that warrant that? I mean, has he proven enough to you guys to be able to stick for the rest of the year?
Yes, I think that was a large motivating factor. Is it's hard to imagine a roster that would have worked with Fisher and Aoki on the team. And you know, Nori was an exceptional player for us in terms of being a role player and a left-handed bat. He didn't strike out a ton. He came up with some big hits for us, but Fisher, you know, having more upside, more future here, speed element was key. He showed enough early that we wanted to commit some at-bats to him and get him ready for the stretch run. And one thing I was, you know, adamant about with Jeff was I don't think that we can just simply assume that a September at-bats were going to be enough for Fisher to potentially contribute, you know, in the postseason. So the more at-bats we can get him, the better. The more experiences we can get him, the better. He faces more pitching. He gets comfortable at this level and begins that maturation process at the major league level. That that was a big key in clearing some playing time.
Coach, AJ, can you talk a little bit about the fact that it's almost a blessing in disguise? You've had these injuries, but you talk about Fisher. But I've noticed you kind of really take kind of like a hands-on approach with some of these guys, too, to say, hey, some of the times when you're going out to the mound and the broadcasters think you're going to make a pitching change, but instead you're just going to tell a Martez, hey, you've got a 95-plus mile-an-hour fastball. Right. Go get these guys. Is that a blessing in disguise that, look, they've been thrown into the fire, but when you need them or if you need them, they're going to have that experience?
Sure. No, it's good for them. I mean, I you know, there's a lot of firsts that these guys have to go through, including Martez or Derek Fisher or any other rookie that may, you know, may contribute here in the next couple months. And it's important for our guys to understand the opportunity we have, and we do. And I think that's where the leadership of Beltran and McCann and Reddick and Dallas and Gregerson and the guys that have been tested a little bit in the league will lend that helping hand. But if, you know, if the situation arises, then I need to deliver the message that I, you know, I like the hands-on approach. I interact with our guys all the time. I spend a lot of time getting to know them so that I can find out what button to push from the managerial chair. So it's good for them to, you know, it's an interesting development with young players. You want them to struggle just enough to have to make the proper adjustments to be good at this level. You know, without caving and without having to struggle so much to where we have to either send them down or sit them on the bench.
With that though, can you wait to get Springer back on the field so he doesn't sit next to you like in your ear the entire game trying to tell you what he thinks?
Yeah, I need Springer to play very, very quickly. I think the days with George on the bench, there's a reason I play him every day. Most of it has to do with his ability, but the unknown that's sort of been exposed in the last couple of weeks has been his dugout behavior is incredible. He mimics players. He absolutely mocks Jake Mariznick. He's in everyone's business. He's He's like the little brother that won't go away.
It's fantastic.
AJ Hinch joins us on the Usual Suspects HRP listener line. AJ, this, you don't get to where you guys are at without getting contributions from folks you didn't expect. Brad Peacock being one of those guys. Uh-huh. You can look up and down that lineup and see guys contributing. Who's been the biggest surprise to you this year?
Whew, that's, you know, I'm kind of pleasant surprise, not total surprise, been Marwin Gonzalez. I think his adjustments at the plate, his ability to be not just a substitute for a lot of different guys, but good at every position has been a nice surprise. He's been able to maintain his discipline and maintain this. I mean, he's approaching 20 home runs. His strikeout rate is down. His walk rate's up. His contribution's been, he's pressed into everyday play all the time because he should be an everyday player. I put a different glove on his hand every day and it feels like he's a utility player, but the numbers he's putting up, the adjustments he's made at this juncture of his career, you don't always see guys 3 and 4 and 5 years deep into their career make as significant of adjustment as Marwin did at the plate. And I think I've been surprised at his openness and commitment to it.
Well, one of the things that no one's surprised about is the fact that you should be up for Manager of the Year. We appreciate you spending some time with us because we know you're busy, but keep doing what you're doing because we love watching this team and we love what they're doing and hopefully what they're about to do in the postseason. All the best for this weekend and, of course, for the rest of the regular season.
No, I appreciate you having me. We've got a division to go win.
Go get them. HRP Lister line, AJ Hinch, right there, the skipper of your Houston Astros, spending some time with us on the Usual Suspects, and we really appreciate that. Good stuff. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.